Savior, we enter the glory land. Won't it be wonderful there? Ended the troubles and cares of this story land. Won't it be wonderful there?
Hello everyone, I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Tuesday night Bible teaching night. And what I do is I use Tuesday as a testing ground for my teaching on Wednesday night at the church. It's worked out really good. So I've got a part of it, the beginning, in the order that I want, and the rest of it is kind of lumped together. So we're going to go through it, and I'll be discussing things as we go through it. But it's very interesting to put together the sequence of the events surrounding the second coming of Jesus Christ. Very, very interesting things, how this plays out. So let's see who is with me, and I know they're not against me. I hope. Okay. So we have Sister Sharon here. How was your day, Sister Sharon?
Hello, Chaplain John.
Yes.
And I think everybody could possibly have a better day than I did today.
Aww.
If it was going to go wrong, it went wrong. You know, so, but I made it through it. And we got things kind of looked at and organized and everything, and I'm really looking forward to your sequence of events. I think that's a neat title. I like that.
Isn't it? I thought a little bit on that title also. I gave some thought to it. Let's put it that way, the title. Now, what went wrong today? Was it involving you physically?
We had to get the nurse back out today to just to check the wound. Bobby was a little worried about it and stuff. But everything seems to be okay, and she did some cultures, and we'll know more about that later. But she felt that it looked okay, too. And
All right. It
was just one of those things going on. And then just whatever it seemed like I touched got all messed up, just crazy.
Yeah.
I was late getting in this morning to prayer time. But that all went well, and it seemed like everybody enjoyed the prayer time this morning.
Oh, good. Well, that's good. All right. Now, are you in serious pain now?
No, not really. You know, just,
okay.
It's constant. It's constant.
Okay. Well, let's pray. Father, we have Sister Sharon before you with that pain, Lord, that seems to go, it seems to lessen, but it's sometimes it flares up, but it's constant. So we're asking that pain would subside, Lord, that it would dissipate, that wound here appears to be close to healing now. It's getting close to healing, that it would be healed, and those nerves would come down when that wound is healed. So that's the big issue, Lord, is the healing of the wound. But right now we're asking that pain subside and it calm down, Lord, and we speak peace to those nerves in the name of Jesus. We speak peace, and that pain will go away now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Captain John. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then we have Sister Kathy.
Yes, yes, and I just want to pray one quick prayer for a friend of mine who's just got into the hospital. I hope they've just got there in Savannah. But, Lord, we lift up Donnie and Pat, and, Lord, he is just screaming in pain from his situation. And, Lord, I just pray that they will have some resolution on what to do for him and how to navigate this now. And bless them, help them. And Lord, we know what it's like. We've been through it. We've walked these steps, and we're just praying for everybody that's going through it now. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you.
Yeah, yes. I want to say hello to, this should be Gigi and Randy.
Yes, we are here. Blessings to everyone.
All right. God bless you. And Sister Rita is here also.
Hello, Captain John.
All right.
And hello to everyone.
Amen.
Hi, sweetie.
Amen.
Hello, Gina.
And then we have Paula Jean here.
Yes. And we have John McTernan here, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're here, Paula Jean.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Let me open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for today, Lord. It was a good day for me. Got a lot accomplished, Lord. I'm going to have to work tomorrow. It's just tedious putting the sequence together. I really have all the scriptures. There's some more I might add. But I think it's important that we all know the sequence of your second coming. So we praise you and thank you, Lord, and it's exciting. It's all in your word. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And Lord, to put your second coming together, we have to rightly divide the word of truth. So I praise you and thank you, and whatever I do is always under the blood of the everlasting covenant you made with us on Calvary, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Let me get over. Oh, there is some part here that I may switch over to another post. And if when I do that, I may play a song. Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm going to do it, but if I do it, I'll play a song. So I can close this here post and open up another. So here we go. Let me get over to this. All right. The sequence of events of the second coming of Jesus Christ. I may change that. The sequence of events surrounding. It's a little wordy, but I think I like it. Sequence of events surrounding the second coming. Yeah, I like that. So I'll change that. And that's how you reach me. All right. The second coming of Jesus Christ is actually in the scriptures. It's the day of the Lord. Now there is, especially in the Old Testament, there's a little in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament, this whole chapter's about the day of the Lord. And there's actually two phases there. The day of the Lord is near and the day of the Lord is come. So when you add up those two headings there, two topics, there's quite a bit in the scriptures about the day of the Lord, which is the second coming of Jesus Christ. So that's the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is not 24-hour period of time. It's an epoch of time, because when you look at scriptures, when Christ returns, the day of the Lord is for 1,000 years. So it's not a 24-hour period. It's an epoch of time. All right. What is the day of the Lord? It's the supernatural and natural disaster events occurring directly leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. The day of the Lord is not a 24-hour day, but rather an epoch of time. This time span is for 1,000 years. The day of the Lord starts with the second coming of Jesus Christ and lasts for 1,000 years. I actually said, well, it's just, all right. It establishes kingdom on earth with Israel. Now, what I want to kind of to share with you about this, and I do bring this out later on, so I'm debating whether I should say it now or wait, but maybe I'll just wait. I'll just wait, because I'm going to bring it out. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Now, the sequence. I may add more things to this. I'm not sure. There may be one or two more. But now, this is how it begins. Now, I didn't, until I did this study and put it together, I didn't realize that the sequence of events started with the most powerful earthquake ever. I thought it began like when heaven opened, or heaven was rolled back like a scroll. So there may be fine tuning in this, or fine, maybe seconds difference, but actually what triggers, or what will get the world's attention, let's put it that way, what will get the world's attention is this powerful earthquake. And the Bible says a lot about this earthquake. So what I've done is I've started with this tremendous earthquake, and I'm going to show how it is what triggers this sequence. And then I will add a lot more scriptures about the earthquake. This earthquake is phenomenal. And really what is happening with this earthquake is the earth is reeling to and fro like a drunkard, according to Isaiah. So the earth is rocking back and forth. And at the same time, I'm going to make this up, but it's like a 20 on the Richter scale, what's coming. And remember, the Richter scale, as you go up on it, that's how we measure power of earthquakes. Like a 5 earthquake, you go from 5 to 6 is 10 times more powerful. A 6 to a 7, the 7 is 10 times more powerful. So 10 times 10 means from a 7 is 100 times more powerful than a 5. Then you go to an 8, and that's another 10. So it's a geometric progression, because it may not sound like a big difference. Well, a 5 earthquake, a 6 earthquake, that's not. But the 6 earthquake is 10 times more powerful than a 5. And a 7 is 10 times more powerful than a 6. And an 8 is 10 times more powerful than a 7. And the really biggest ones ever recorded were 9s. There's only been a handful of 9s. And the most powerful one was in 1960. And that was like a 9.5. Two mountains disappeared and islands disappeared off the coast of Chile. That's where that earth was centered. And in fact, I write about that in my book, As America Has Done to Israel, because the very day Israel had captured Adolf Eichmann, who was the architect of the final solution for killing the Jews. And the day they captured him in, I think, Uruguay. And the day his plane they brought him back to Israel, but landed on the covenant land, that 9.6 earthquake hit. It sent tsunamis from Antarctica up to Alaska. It sent tsunamis to Japan, Hawaii. Two mountains literally disappeared. And islands off the coast of Chile disappeared. So, how about an earthquake that the Rocky Mountains disappear? Or the Himalayas disappear? And it says islands disappear. Does that mean Japan disappears? You know, the Philippines and all? It's going to be a tremendous earthquake. So, I mean, for the Rocky Mountains to disappear, in other words, they're going to be leveled. Going to be leveled. 20 on the Richter scale, that's an enormous power to do that, folks. That's why I said 20. And I told you the sequence, 10 times. So a 20 on the Richter scale would be like, compared to the 9 that I told you, you know, it would be 10 times 10, 100, 1,000, 10,000, you know, it might be 20,000 times more powerful than a 9. All right. Now, so what happens is this tremendous earthquake hits, and I'm going to show you why this is the trigger. And then the heavens open and are rolled back like a scroll and dissolve. When we look at the scriptures here and I show them to you, heaven is dissolved, folks. Dissolved. It's incredible. The universe is going to be dissolved by God. And then what he's going to do is bring it back as a new heaven and a new earth. So this isn't the makeover that's what's happening when Christ returns. But this is the new heaven and the new earth, which is quite controversial, what I'm saying, because most prophecy scholars and all, they all have the new heaven and the new earth after the Revelation 20 and the great white throne judgment. But I put it, and I'll show you the scriptures, I put it at the new heaven and the new earth occurs at Christ's second coming. All right. So the heavens are opened and rolled back like a scroll and dissolved. Then we have the second coming of the Lord. Now this can all be seconds apart, folks. Then the earth is on fire burning. The earth is pummeled with huge stones, the new heaven and the new earth. So what I think I should do is somewhere in here, because it says it's on fire and burning, but also in combination with that is complete darkness. So I think what happens is the earth will be on fire burning really quick, folks. It's going to be a quick burn across the earth, because at the actual second coming of the Lord the backdrop is going to be complete darkness, complete total darkness. Matthew tells us about that. And I don't have that yet. And again, I may teach this Thursday to you because I'll have it finished then. So this is like the preliminary, but the backdrop is complete darkness. And then with that complete darkness, there's an explosion of light, and that's Jesus Christ coming in his glory. Isn't that something? Complete, total darkness, and Christ comes in manifesting his glory. All right, and then in the new heaven and the new earth. Okay, that's a pretty good sequence. I'm going to add to it. I'm going to add to the darkness, the backdrop of complete darkness. that the Lord's coming. The triggering event for Christ's second coming, massive earthquake. The triggering event is a massive earthquake, which is so great, the world's mountains are going to collapse. This is not wanton destruction, but God is rearranging both the heaven and the earth for the rule of his son. The earth is going to be completely changed. And what I wanted to add here is the time. I think from the time this massive earthquake triggers to Christ's coming, as we count time, could be a half hour or less. It's not this big, long process. I think it's going to be a half hour. All this destruction that's hitting the earth is going to be compressed into, because that earthquake that's going to shake the mountains and they're going to fall, you know, that's going to take time. The nine on the Richter scale, those earthquakes can last for like 5 minutes. So this big one that's going to shake the mountains takes time. And so from when it begins to when it ends, I'm going to estimate a half hour. And in that half hour is Christ coming. And everything that's happening to the earth there at his second coming is compressed into a half hour. It's not going to take a day or anything like that. It's going to be very fast, very fast. And God is rearranging his earth for the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Well, I believe when the mountains come down and all of this is happening, it's going to be set up. It's not going to be like, I don't think, real chaos, folks. It's going to be set up for the millennial reign of his son. It's not going to be utter chaos, folks. Keep that in mind. It's going to be destroyed. The earth is going to be destroyed in an orderly process. So it's not chaos. It's like tearing down a house so you can rebuild it. You know, you got some house that's maybe kind of destroyed, like in a fire, and you completely destroy the rest of the house so that you can rebuild it. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Do you have any questions, Paula Jean, or comments so far?
I'm still waiting for you to continue filling in the gaps, and then I'll tell you. I'm not going to get ahead of the game.
Well, on what I just said, Paula Jean, are you up to the point that I've taught, do you have any questions or comments?
Okay, sure. Is this before or is this after the battle where so many people and so much blood flows?
Well, this is leading to it.
That's what I was wondering, if it's before that or after, and you say it's before. And yeah. So that makes sense so far.
Okay. All right. Gigi and Randy, can you unmute yourself?
We don't have any questions at this point. I'm kind of with Paula Jean.
All right. Rita, can you unmute yourself?
Right, yeah.
Okay. I'm unmuted. So I went through all that work. So, I have to ask you. You have to let me talk.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't have any comment.
All right, so I let you talk and you have no comments. All right.
With all that said, I don't have no comment.
All right. So let me get PowerPoint back up. That is always, if it happens, I think it's only happened once or twice in the morning.
Right.
With this. All right. So the earth is going to be completely changed now. This isn't like a minor thing. This is the universe being rearranged. and along with what's happening on the earth. And this universe is really exciting, folks, when I tell you about when God is going to do it and why. It is. I'm going to hold that. Tonight, I'm going to make sure that if I'm not finished, I finish with that. All right. So let's get another one here. Okay. Now here it is. This is what I was telling you about the great earthquake. Revelation 6:12. And I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake. And verse 14, every mountain and island were moved out of place. Hey, would everyone mute themselves, please? Any noise you make, we can hear, and I can't mute you. So would you please mute yourselves? So this is the second coming of Jesus Christ, and notice what initiates it, this great earthquake. It doesn't say at this point heaven was rolled back like a scroll or heaven opened or anything like that. It just says this great earthquake. And then it says every mountain and island were moved out of their places. So there is the indicator. This is the very first thing that happens. So there will be a jolt on earth of like a 20 on the Richter scale, folks, where that, like I said, the Rockies, the Himalayas, the Andes Mountains, the Alps, they're all coming, all, folks, all. And then we go to Revelation 16:17, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven, from the throne, saying, it is done. And then there was verse 18, and there was lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. So when you put these two together, behold, when I had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. So the Revelation 6:12 tells us the mountains were moved out of their places. And then when we get to Revelation 16, it says, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. So it tells us here that the mountains were shaking and moving. Now that's incredible, folks. And then in verse 16, it says they were not found because it was all leveled. The earth was leveled, kind of like, I believe it's going to revert back to the days before Noah. That's my opinion. It doesn't quite say that in the scripture. So now when we look at Revelation 16, it's the last judgment, and Christ does not come in Revelation 16. He comes in Revelation 19. Remember, Revelation 16, in fact, let me go back to it. And it says, Revelation 16:17, from the throne saying, it is done. So the judgments are complete. The wrath of God has been poured out. And then Revelation 19 is Christ coming. So Revelation 16 starts with this great earthquake. And then Christ, like in Revelation 6. So this earthquake starts, it matches Revelation. That's what I was after. Revelation 6 and 16 match. And this, the last judgment in Revelation 16 is this great earthquake. And that matches perfectly with Revelation chapter 6. But Christ doesn't come in 16. Christ doesn't come in 19. It is the process of him coming. So actually, if you want to do this like chronological order, Revelation 16:18 is this great earthquake. And then you go to 1911 after the marriage supper of the Lamb. Heaven is opened. And then that's the coming of Jesus Christ. So that's the way it works. So I hope that that's clear. So Revelation 6 is the great earthquake. It does not, Christ's coming doesn't precede that. Revelation 16, the great earthquake again, mountains shaking and moving and disappearing and all. Christ hasn't come yet. So this shows you the trigger for the second coming of Jesus Christ is that great earthquake, which when it hits, it's going to be like a 20 on the Richter scale, folks. People all over the earth, you're not going to be able, I mean, I'm sure multitudes are going to be killed from it, but you can't walk with that. I mean, earthquakes are powerful, bringing down the Rocky Mountains. Yeah, the whole earth is in convulsions. And the reason is in Isaiah, and I have this and I'll show it to you. Isaiah says the earth is going to rock. It's going to be like knocked out of its orbit, and it's going to be rocking to and fro like a drunkard. So, and then Luke talks about men's hearts failing them for fear for looking upon those things which are coming upon the earth. So this is so great. The fear is so incredible that many are going to die just from fear with this trigger of Christ's coming. All right, so then I go over and, you see, okay, we'll get to this. Let me just give you this, because I mentioned the hail of stones. Revelation 6:13, this again is about Christ coming. It's Revelation 6 here. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her timely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Now the stars of heaven fell, but when we go to Revelation 16:21, it tells us, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone. So when it refers to the stars of heaven falling, it's hail, and it's great stone. And that great stone, about the weight of a talent, is about 75 pounds. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. For the hail thereof was exceeding. So in the sequence of events, the hail of stones fall in this chronological order. They fall right moments before Christ's return. But it is in that sequence where heaven is going to open and then Christ returns. In that sequence is a tremendous hail from heaven. And you see, that's like, that hail is smashing everything. All these rocks, the Rocky Mountains are going to be flattened by this hailstorm. They're coming at tremendous speed. And they're like, it's like hammers hitting the earth. See, that's all part of God's remaking the earth, folks. He's remaking it. It's not going to, the people that are alive at the beginning of Christ's second coming, when they make it through, there's going to be a remnant that makes it through, and they get on the other side, they're not going to recognize earth. It's like Noah. Now he didn't recognize the earth when he got out of the ark. It was a rainbow in the sky. There never was a rainbow. It was the firmament up there. And there really was no indication of mountains. Well, in fact, it said the earth was watered, the mist coming up from the earth. And so it was radically different when Noah came out of the ark. And here, it's going to be radically different for the people when Christ returns, after he returns. All right, let me go down now, and here's what I wanted to show you. This is like kind of a key verse here, and Isaiah 24:19. Now, this is right at this time. And most of it is compressed into a very short time. The earth is utterly broke down. Isaiah 24:19. The earth is clean dissolved. See? The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall be removed like a cottage. You know, so the earth is reeling to and fro, and it's like a cottage collapsing. It's gone. And now look at this. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. There is a new earth coming. When it says, and it shall not rise again, there is a new heaven and a new earth. The old earth is finished, folks. But look at that. The earth is going to reel to and fro like a drunkard. Luke talks about the waves roaring and all. And again, picture in your mind the earth, and it starts to reel in to and fro like a drunkard. Well, what happens to those oceans? What happens to the Pacific Ocean with the earth reeling to and fro back and forth? The oceans don't stay still, folks. I mean, the mountains are coming down. So what happens is those oceans, depending upon how big that reeling to and fro is, those oceans might go hundreds of miles inland. I don't know, 1,000 miles inland without the mountains being there. So what we have here is, I look at this is when you have a washing machine, you have a, what's called like an agitator in it, and it moves back and forth. And that's what gets the clothes moving in the water. It gets in all everywhere in it, and the soap gets in it. It needs an agitator. So the earth is reeling to and fro. That's the agitator. And this is all part of God doing redoing the earth. So you had the fires that were, and I'll show you, I don't know tonight if I'll get to show you, but I'll show you the fires. It says the earth's going to be clean dissolved. And it looks like following the fires would be the earth reeling to and fro. Now, these fires on earth, folks, they may be 5 minutes. This isn't like a normal forest fire in the United States or anywhere. This is like God's fire being put on it. And it'll just go around the earth, scorch it and burn it. Then probably what will follow will, the earth is reeling to and fro like a drunkard. So these great oceans, the reeling to and fro is the agitator. And these great oceans go over all the island. You know, they go like the United States. We don't have mountains anymore. They're all level. So the earth, it depends upon the degrees, it's rocking back and forth. But conceivably, it could go 1,000 miles inland or more. Maybe it might cross the whole country with these huge tsunamis. Everywhere in the world that's happened. This is incredible when you look at this. And it's all happening in a relatively short, condensed into a short period of time. So the earth doesn't have to reel to and fro like a drunkard for a day. You know, with the way it's shaking back and forth, 10 minutes might do it, folks, or 5 minutes might do it. You know, the Atlantic will wash over the United States, and then the earth shakes the other way, it moves the other way, and the Atlantic goes back off what was the United States, and the Pacific comes, and the Pacific goes back, and the Atlantic comes. And the water may be, I don't know, 500 feet high, 1,000 feet high. This is the earth shaking to and fro like this, reeling to and fro. So it doesn't take long. It doesn't take a whole day of scrubbing the earth. So this is a actual scrubbing, cleaning, getting rid of everything that took place during this time, prior to Christ coming. It's all loaded with sin, folks. Everything is tainted with sin, and God's getting rid of it. the millennial reign will have nothing of this earth, this time we're in now, on it. All right, earthquakes. Then the Lord shall go forth, this is Zechariah 14:3, and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand that day in the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall move towards the north, and the other half towards the south. Now, I have no proof of this, but just putting this, looking at it chronologically, I think the great earthquakes on the earth are going to stop right here. When the Lord, the last place to crack here will be like the Mount of Olives. And when the Lord's feet touch the Mount of Olives, it'll cleave like the Bible describes, and then it'll stop. That'll be the final mount to come down. Something is radical is going to happen with the Mount of Olives, because there's an earthquake coming, and it's going to cut from the east to the west, and the mountain is going to move to the north and the south like a couple miles. And Christ's feet are on the earth, and I believe there'll be no more earthquake. It'll stop. The Mount of Olives will be the last place to split like that, come down. Ezekiel 38:19-20. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day, that's the coming of Jesus Christ, there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heavens and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. Notice, shake, that's literal. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ right there. And the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. God's bringing everything down. It's all going to be renewed. Shall shake and upon the face, and all men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. That's the second coming of the Lord. There's not going to be many left, folks. I don't know how any. I really, after you look at the magnitude of what's happening, I mean, huge, the earth being burnt, and then these gigantic, agitator action of the earth going back and forth in the oceans, it's like a washing machine. That's exactly what it's like. And so, I mean, how can anybody live through this other than the Lord has protected them? Let's look at Isaiah 13:13. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall be moved out of her place. There it is again. And the earth shall be moved out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and the day of his fierce anger. Now, remember, it's talking about the day of his fierce anger. The people on the earth are worshiping the beast in his image. They've got it set up in the temple in Jerusalem. Now, it's going to be destroyed when that earthquake comes. And they've taken the mark of the beast. That is the day of his fierce anger. Isaiah 34:4. And all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved. Now there it is, dissolved. And the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. That's right out of Revelation 6:4. But I want you to see the word dissolved. This isn't a makeover book. This is a renewing. This is a new heavens and a new earth. Now the earth is going to be completely remodeled, I guess you might say, and all the sin and all that will be completely gone from it. But the earth, the heavens, shall be dissolved and rolled together as a scroll. Now we go to Revelation 6:14. And heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island are moved out of its place, which I shared already. So in Isaiah, it says the earth is going to be rolled together as a scroll. But what it adds to it is dissolved. That's critically important. So after that great earthquake begins, Revelation 6:14 says, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. So the sequence is the earthquake, then immediately after it, I don't know, second, two, three after it, heaven, if the people are here and they're bouncing around, it would be because of this great earthquake, they look up into the sky like the heavens is gone. It's being rolled back. And then it's dissolved. So when you look at this, I just thought of this right now. It's like the earth is hanging by itself. The Lord himself is keeping the earth together, but the heavens have been rolled back like a scroll. Isn't the sun in the heavens? I guess you say the moon is in the heavens there. Or maybe he keeps them because it says the sun is going to be darkened. But the rest of the universe is just, it's like rolled, like you roll up a scroll. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, Revelation 6:14. Now, we know from Revelation 19:11, that's the second coming of the Lord, and I saw heaven opened. It doesn't say any more. Then it says, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. So Isaiah says, heaven shall be rolled together as a scroll and dissolved. Revelation 6:14 says, and heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. Revelation 19:11 says, and I saw heaven open. So you got to put them all three together to get the clear picture. Heaven was opened, and then it's opened, and all of a sudden it's rolled back like a scroll and dissolved. God's powerful, folks. I mean, and yet with all that power, he wants to be our Abba Father. Amazing. It took me a long time to be able to reconcile the awesome power of God, and he wants to be our Abba Father and us to be his little children. And to me, now, I know we could use Adam and Eve as an example. The Lord walked with them in the garden. And, we know the Lord appeared to Abraham. But somehow, I still have a little tinge of reconciling God being our size and roll back the universe like a scroll and dissolve it. Because you can't relate to it, but yet he's Abba Father. It's amazing, folks. He speak the word, and he speaks. You speak the word, and heaven is rolled together like as a scroll and dissolved. Amazing, amazing. And Satan and his armies, or the beast and his armies, are going to come against Jesus Christ, who just like rolled back the universe like a scroll. And the beast has these puny, maybe nuclear weapons. I don't know. But whatever his weapons are puny. The one who created the universe and just dissolved it. All right. Now we're going to take a look at the heavens. This is Luke 21:25, starting at 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And see those signs in the moon and the sun and the stars and all? They're disappearing. They're being rolled back. Except the moon. The moon and the sun does not. Moon and the sun stays there. But they're darkened. And Christ, as I said, he comes, he manifests his glory in that through that darkness. And the distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. That's what I believe is those big tsunamis, the agitating effect. men's heart failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Then it says, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. Yeah, so all this is happening on the earth, but you look up in the sky, and it's disappearing, or disappeared. And then Luke 21:27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So all these things are going to happen immediately prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ, which I'm just making an estimate, a guess, that from the time that earthquake triggers to the time the Lord's feet stand on the Mount of Olives, I'm going to say it's a half hour. The whole thing, the heavens roll back like a scroll and dissolved and all of that, be about a half hour. Could be more, could be less, but it's not going to be 24 hours, 12 hours, it's none of that. The earth, it's for that time for him to cleanse the earth, to prepare for his millennium. Now the Bible says a lot about shaking the heavens. Isaiah 13:13. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall be, I shared this, shall be removed out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. And all the, and I shared this also, and all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved. Let that sink in. Dissolved. And the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts should fall down. As a leaf falleth from a vine, and as a fig tree falls from a tree, as a falling fig from the fig tree. Joel 2:10. And the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shine. That's because they melted. Verse 30, Joel 2:30. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. This is kind of a verse that you don't hear too much about. Haggai 2:6. Well, thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea, and look at this, and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of the nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Now the desire of all nations shall come, of course, which means Christ. So there must be a significant remnant on earth at the Lord's second coming. The desire of all nations. Well, that's not limited to Israel. So the Lord must protect the remnant of his coming. He has to, based on what's happening on the earth. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. This is prophetic. And at this point, they were building the second temple in Jerusalem. The prophecy is, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. It's not about the house that they're building in Jerusalem now. It's the house that the Lord is going to have during this millennial reign. Because he's talking about the time of Christ coming. And we know the Lord's house is going to be in Jerusalem. He calls it my house. So that's the house it's talking about. And I will fill the house with glory. He's going to fill the house with himself. Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of the heavens shall be shaken. That's when the Lord is rebuilding the earth. It's being rolled back as a scroll of dissolved. Then shall the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power great glory. So we look at verse 29. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. So that is the backdrop of complete darkness, as it described it. But what happens? And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. So that's the backdrop, folks. Complete darkness, and then an explosion of Jesus Christ coming in his... Isn't that exciting? I mean, when you piece this all together, it's intricate, and they fit together in this pattern, like complete darkness, and people are in terror. And then the sky opens, or the darkness is pierced with the glory of Jesus Christ. And look what it says here. And they shall see, in verse 30, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. With the clouds of heaven. That means they shall see Christ coming with his bride. Because we're returning right after the marriage supper of the Lamb. All right, so we'll put these together about the heaven shaken. Matthew 24:29, Luke 21:26. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, immediately, see, that's what I'm saying. It's happened quickly. The sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. Remember, that's those big, huge rocks. The Bible says they weigh a talent, 75 pounds. And the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Powers there means inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. The heaven shall be shaken. So the universe has power inherent in it, because God created it and put power in it to keep it functioning and all. So that's what shall be shaken, the very core of the universe. That's what when it says, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. That's the very core of the universe. Luke 21:26. Men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So now let's look at shaken. To cause to totter. To shake thoroughly, of a measure filled by shaking its content together. So to shake thoroughly, and of a measure filled by shaking its contents together. So the whole earth, it's going to be like when you make a malted milk. That's what we use. I don't know what you call it. That's we used to put an agitator in it and shake it. There's some sort of alcohol drinks that they put alcohol in it, and then they shake it back and forth. That's what comes to mind. Shaking its contents together. So God has got like the universe, and he's the power of heaven, which he has put in it, folks. That's his power. That's how heaven functions. And it functions under his laws. But that power of the heavens is his. That's from the Holy Spirit. Shall be shaken. It'll be just like taking something. And that shaking process is him creating a new heaven and a new earth. It's dissolved. He's dissolving it while he's shaking it. And voila, when he's finished, there it is. A new universe that doesn't decay from. Be no decaying in the new universe, which is coming. The new universe will be complete when Jesus Christ puts his feet on the mountain. It'll be complete. That's it. Because he speaks the word and it's done. Amazing, folks. More about the heavens. Now, this is very important. Now, this is where I tie it together. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, that's the word of Jesus Christ, and reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. That's the second coming of the Lord. Now listen to verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away. That's what I've been showing you, scripture after scripture. It's going to be dissolved. It's going to be gone. It'll be rolled back like a scroll with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. That's God creating the new heavens, and he's hand making the new earth. But the new heavens, it's like, boom, it's there. And with fervent heat, the earth also and the works thereof shall be burned up. Verse 12, looking for the hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved. Exactly what Isaiah is saying. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That's God's energy. Shall melt with fervent heat, because he's going to melt like everything down and then recreate it. Everything of decay and destruction and chaos in this universe caused by man's sin is going to be done away with, not a trace of it left, and then there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. That's at the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's at the end of the sixth seal. That's at the end of the seventh bowl judgment in Revelation 16. That's at his second coming. That's at when that's in Revelation 19, when the armies of Satan, the beast, are there. It's a nanosecond, folks. It's a nanosecond. And they're in trouble, because many of these, the Lord's must destroy them just prior to the earth being rocked to and fro and all. Because I don't know how they can stand, that army can stand, with all that destruction happening on the earth. Or it's just finished. All of that destruction, it's finished. It's over. And there's the Lord facing, I guess, the remnant of Satan's army, and they're gone in a nanosecond. But my contention is, from the scriptures I've showed you, talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ, the new heaven and the new earth occurs at that time, in the second coming. It does not occur in Revelation 21 and 22, which is placed after the great white throne judgment. The new heavens and the new earth is in effect at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Because these scriptures here from Peter, they apply to all those other scriptures we've been looking at. That's when the new heaven and the new earth occurs. So it's not necessarily the chronological order, because Revelation 17 and 18 do not chronologically appear after Revelation 16, they appear mid-tribulation, because they're destroyed and the beast takes over from them. He takes over the complete religious system, the complete economic system. He rules for 42 months and all. That's not at the end, folks. That's in the middle. So it's hard. The teaching is hard out there if you've read books and heard preaching, that Revelation 21, 22 occurs after the great white throne judgment. No, it does not. But it occurs at the second coming of Jesus Christ. So with the new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem comes also. I don't believe it's on earth at that point. The new Jerusalem is complete. And that's why, you know, that's why, lost my train of thought here. Because the new Jerusalem must be in the new heaven and the new earth. Okay. Yeah, and here's why I'm tying it in. Revelation 21:21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no sea more. So the new heaven and the new earth were passed away. That occurred at the second coming of the Lord. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of from God out of heaven, as prepared for a bride adorned for others. This is now when the Lord has returned. And this is the plague, Zechariah 14:12, wherein the Lord shall smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their homes, and their tongues shall consume away in their mouth. This is the people that have been exposed to the full glory of Jesus Christ, or as much as glory as he could manifest on earth. But that they're exposed to his glory, and it's radiating heat that just melts their flesh. Just melt. Instantly, they're melted. Okay, and this is what I want to close with. Now, when we get to Revelation chapter 8, in fact, I want to read these scriptures. I haven't posted them here yet. See, a lot of what I just shared with you, it's not in the order that I'm going to have it in. I didn't teach it. But you got all the information. So let me get to the scriptures. Let's get to Revelation chapter 8. Because it's very important. I tie this in to God being our Abba Father. All right. So we're going to go to, I'm in Revelation. I meant Romans. Excuse me. All right. We all know Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now listen to this. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. So it's telling us that when we come to Christ, we receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And that spirit of adoption is so great, it's so powerful. Verse 17 says, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. We got to stop there. Joint heirs with Christ. Amazing. Amazing. Joint heirs. I mean, that is mind-boggling. Then it says, if so be that we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. So suffering is a part of this, I'm going to say, universe that we're in now. And it comes because of man's sin. So it's like the universe is suffering, folks. When you read the scriptures here, it's amazing. So what's happening to us is happening to this universe. Now, in Christ, we have, we can get through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can get like decaying can be overturned by the power of the Holy Spirit. But the universe itself, it's decaying and can't be reversed. Now look at verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I want to emphasize that. What's going on right now is not worthy to be mentioned, to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, what is that? Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, which is giving us life for eternity, compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Folks, that's us. We're sons of God. We're the adopted sons of God. And the creation is something about our manifestation, and that's when we're returning with Christ, that is built into the creation, and the creation, not in a thoughtful sense, but it waits here for this moment for the manifestation of the sons of God. Why? What is built into the creation waiting for our manifestation? Verse 20, for the creation was made subject to vanity, and that vanity is worthlessness. Actually, it's worthlessness. In fact, I have it there. It's useless, unusable. As far as God's concerned, this universe is like, it's so tainted with sin. Now, but the sin is us. But we're in this universe that it's useless. He can't do anything with it. Not willingly, but by reason of him who had subject the same to hope, in hope. So this, with the universe, it wasn't made vanity willingly. It happened because of our sin. But by reason of him who had subject the same in hope. So God has subject this universe with like a hope that's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Romans 8:21. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage. And that bondage is slavery of decay. See, the decay into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So God is going to not have us, when we're manifested, coming into a creation that's decaying, folks. You understand that? He wants a new heaven and a new earth into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Well, when does that happen? We are coming with Jesus Christ. When heaven opens, and out he comes, so do we, with the manifestation of the sons of God. That's what the universe is waiting for to be delivered from decay into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So I look at it at this, that we are his little children, and he doesn't want his little children to come into a decaying, dying universe. He wants us to come into one that is like beautiful, no decay at all, for his children. That's us. So God has a new heaven and a new earth when we return, because we're his little children, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Isn't that incredible? It's amazing. But we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. Groan. Now that groaning is a decaying, folks. The you know, like things always decays. If we build something over time, you know, you build a house and you must apply energy to it. If you don't, that energy is work. If you don't, the wood starts rotting, the roof will develop holes, cars' battery die, tires rot. That's what this universe is subject to. And the Bible in Romans 8:22 says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. Groan, they experience a common calamity. So it's all over the universe. Travail, it's figuratively to sympathize in expectation of relief from suffering. So what the condition of the universe is in now will remain the same until we're manifested with Jesus Christ. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Mind-boggling. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. See, the redemption of our body means we're not subject to, like the universe, groaning and travailing, decaying and all. So the redemption of our body happens at the rapture, folks. The redemption of our body comes with the blessed hope. Christ coming for us. Amazing. So when heaven opens and the Lord returns, but notice it doesn't say, it specifically targets us. And I know it has to be this, it's because we're joint heirs. And it has to be relative to the Lord himself. But Paul here zeroes in on us, the adopted sons of God, joint heirs. And he's explaining the joint heir situation to us. The creation, it's set up that when we are manifested, the sons of God. So when you see there that the heavens are rolled back like a scroll and it's dissolved, the backstory with that, and there's several reasons, but the one here in Romans 8, the backstory is God's doing it for us. He doesn't want us to come into a polluted, sin-cursed, groaning, decaying world. He wants a beautiful new universe for his adopted children. Amazing, folks. Amazing. He's our Abba Father. Oh, man. And all that you're seeing, the dissolving and the rolling back and all, when you read Romans 8 here, it's for us. And of course, the other part is he's doing it to set up his kingdom for the Lord Jesus Christ here, you know. But that's in God's mind. Well, there's actually a couple things going on. But the earth being redone, I'm looking at it like this. The earth being redone is, because we're joint heirs with the Lord, is for Jesus Christ. The universe being redone is for us. Because that's what it focuses on here. You know, it doesn't say anything about the new earth, us connected with it. But in Romans 8, it connects us to it. So that's, I'm finished with that now. Yeah, so we're all finished, and I'll have this smoothed out, and there are more things I need to add to, not many, not much, but more, somewhat. And then I'll be teaching that tomorrow night. So I don't know if I can unmute you. Let me try. No, it's not working. If anybody has any questions and comments, please call in 717-409-5553, and we can discuss this. Any insights you may have, I'd like to hear them. So, Sister Kathy, you're free ranged here now. You're not muted.
Yeah, I unmuted everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Kathy. Somebody
you're
did.
Welcome. Yeah. It was. Sharon. I'm guilty.
Sharon, you're not showing. You're just the voice.
I know. I'm looking all over for me, but this happened earlier in the program. Well, everything disappeared.
Right.
That's Sharon, you're bigger than life on mine.
Yes,
I see
yes.
You both places.
No, I don't see her. I hear her, but don't see her. This is bizarre. All right.
Well, we got PJ, and we've got Gigi and Randy, Rita, and then, of course, Sharon and Charles.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was hoping Charles was here. All right. Sister Kathy, we covered a lot of ground there. Any questions or comments?
Well, I had at the very, very start when you were saying about the heavens will be remade, and I'm like, how do you make the sky over? But then when you said about the planets and the stars and all, I'm guessing that's what it means.
Oh, no, I believe it's the whole universe.
Well, that's what I mean. Because when it was saying the sky, I'm like, just, you know, the atmosphere.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I see that it is a deeper thing.
Yeah, dissolved. But I love that part in Romans 8 where God's the universe is waiting for us to be made up, to be remade.
Yeah.
No curse in it. No corruption in it. All right. Now we have the ghost, Sister Sharon here.
Yeah, I found the traveling around in my travels. I hit the right dial pad, and I found me so that you guys could all see me. And
okay.
Thank you for unmuting me, Kathy.
All right. So what do you think about the coming of Christ and the sequence? And I think it's a half hour from the time. The time that earthquake stopped starts.
Right. It seems like every horrible horror movie that they ever created is bound up in this big event that takes away the earth and gives us a new one and stuff. I can just see it all happening. And it's like Hollywood went overboard trying to recreate all of this stuff. I don't know if they were trying to scare us or what, but I can think of, like, when you were talking about the big, hardest earthquake that ever hit, that's got to happen yet. But then there's a movie where they show the earth literally splitting in half. I mean, that's what the whole movie's about. And, you know, so they're trying to scare people with this stuff and, I think, get them away from God and the Bible. And I think that if people follow, just like what you were saying, and listen and read and study, that the Bible is very clear and it is very enriching and rewarding to be able to understand what's going to happen soon.
Yeah, that's God, I don't think God wants to waste any time, seriously, with a 12-hour second coming of the Lord type thing. I mean, because this is like disgusting to him. I mean, we're dealing with pagans with the mark of the beast, and they have the image of the beast, and they're worshiping it all and practicing pagan immorality and all of this. And he wants to get it over with as quickly as possible.
Right. Oh, I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
And you know darn well he doesn't appreciate having 12 or 13 people slaughtered, you know, for his cause, like that happened over there. And, you know, we just need to pray and pray hard and just protect each other in prayer.
Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. And, we have I Brother Charles, you're not showing either. Wherever Sister Sharon is, you are. So.
Where's the house of Dank?
Oh, that's funny. That is funny.
We're both there.
That is really funny. Sister Sharon, no, it was Kathy. Remember we were trying to find out what the House of Dank was when we showed up on Sharon's map there, the Coleman map.
Yep, yep, yep.
What in the world is a House of Dank? Oh, it turns out
we
to
weren't
be what?
Signing up to go there. That's for sure.
It turns out to be
right.
What? A marijuana parlor or something. That is too funny.
We can have some good times here.
Brother Charles, that was really good. That was really fun.
Well,
all right.
It's sharing time. But anyway,
questions or comments?
Yes, sir. I was just reading my commentary. It's Invitation to Biblical Interpretation. On two New Testament scholars, Andreas Kostenberger and Richard Patterson. And when I look at the first part, it says the genre of Revelation is Jewish prophetic apocalyptic. The apocalyptic genre, by definition, is highly symbolic and not intended to be interpreted in a literal manner. For this reason, a rigid interpretation of literalism may actually obscure the author's intended meaning rather than expose it.
Really?
Yes, sir. I just was wondering. I mean, I guess you've got competing views, you know?
I don't have competing views. They're not.
Well,
was Jesus Christ's first coming symbolic?
No, sir.
What is the book of Revelation about? His second coming.
Yes, sir.
So his first coming, all the prophecies were all fulfilled about his first coming. Every one. There isn't one prophecy that was not fulfilled, and they were not symbolic. They were literal. He literally died on a cross. He literally died for our sins, right? So why all of a sudden is the second coming symbolic?
I'm not sure.
Because of their unbelief.
Oh, okay.
My suggestion is you treat that commentary like it's contaminated with radiation and get it out of your house as soon as possible before you die of it.
Yes, sir.
You could die of... You could spiritually die from that poison.
Okay.
But what authority does he say that? By what authority? Other than he can't understand it.
Maybe so, yes, sir. I just, I was just throwing it out there. I mean, I understand the literalism of the first coming. I mean, when Jesus first came, you know, it was literal. So, I understand that part, yeah.
Right. So why is his second coming so many? Oh, he's not coming to Jerusalem. Oh, no, that's figurative. Jerusalem represents the world. Let's say. They make up things. That's because their doctrine is wrong. They've got a wrong doctrine that they see for us. Jerusalem is Jerusalem. That's a covenant city that God made with really David. And the land he made with Abraham forever. And the Bible tells us that the Jews were going to be dispersed and why they were going to be dispersed. The prophet says they're coming back. So people like this scholar, oh, those scriptures are right about the Jews being dispersed because it happened. But, oh, it's symbolic about them coming back to the land. I mean, so half a verse is literal and the other half is symbolic. And the Jews are now back in the land, and they still deny the literalness of the scripture.
Yes, sir. Well, sorry about that, Jeff. I just, like you said, it's a bad commentary. And the, you know, I don't know why. Maybe it's the higher criticism, you know, some in higher criticism.
Yes. That's probably part of it. Yeah, they're the ones that brought that poison in. The higher critics in the early 1800s, it didn't leap over to America until much later on, I think it was the late 1800s. But there was I can't think of his name. There was a terrible atheist that picked up on that, and he preached. He was preaching in pulpits, you know, apostate churches, and he was an atheist. Ingersoll?
Right.
Ingersoll was his name, I think.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it is pure poison, Brother Charles.
Yes, sir.
It's spiritual poison.
Well, I apologize. Yeah.
No, well, you might have to work that out yourself. You know, I mean, I told you my position on it, and look at what they are and what they've done, and you know, I'm sure you'll make a decision not to fall for what they believe and what their commentaries are.
Yes,
you see, when you look at it, Charles,
the teaching, Charles.
Yeah, Brother Charles, when you look at it, the Jews are back in the land.
Yes,
see,
sir.
That's the point they can't get around. And Jerusalem's the capital. They're speaking Hebrew. There's a war out there right now. It's over Jerusalem. It's low grade right now. But that fighting we went, that Israel went through, was literally over Jerusalem. That's why Hamas did what they did. They said they were doing it over Jerusalem.
Oh, yes, sir.
What more do they need? Brother Charles, unbelief is a powerful force. It really is.
I know.
Yes, it is.
And they're deep in unbelief, and no matter what happens, I hope that some of them come out of it. But when they go down that road, they get locked into it. They become like they're like the Muslims, denying the prophetic word about Israel. They deny it.
Yes, sir. Well, Kevin, I'm just so confused. I mean, on justification and on revelation, I just don't know what to believe anymore.
Well, Brother Charles, what I
said, I just don't know what to believe anymore.
All right. Well, let's everybody pray for Brother Charles.
Amen.
Let's pray for Brother Charles.
Amen.
Brother Charles, we're sticking with you. We're all sticking with you on this. But
yes,
at some point,
amen,
for your own like good, you're halting between two positions now. And the Bible says in James, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So you need to lock in and block out all that other stuff. I mean, there are mountains of it out there. Mountains. So, Father, we pray for Brother Charles, Lord. Lord, I pray, strengthen him, that he's going to not halt between two positions. He's going to stay with the literalness of your word. You were literally born, Lord. You literally died on the cross. That's not figurative. That's all. You literally rose from the dead. And you're literally coming the second time. And the book of Revelation's about your coming, your literal coming. So, Lord, I pray now that Brother Charles would have great peace, Lord, that he, whatever, I pray that he can resist going into that other realm, Lord, which I believe is unbelief. And it tears him inside, Lord. So we want him to have great peace. We want him to rest with the second coming, the literal second coming of your son, the literal coming for us, of the blessed hope of Jesus literally coming for us with the, according to the blessed hope, rapture. And we want him to have great peace, Lord. We want Charles to have great peace now in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I apologize, Chaplain.
Oh, this is time to pray for you, Brother Charles. You don't have to apologize. We're glad. You know, the Lord wants that out of you, and he wants you to rest in him. Rest in him.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Yeah, Charles. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
And you know what I would do, Charles, if I was you? I would make a little confession.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll just wait on you, Charles. It's like when I doubted my salvation when I first came to the Lord, I would confess, when I, those feelings of doubt, I would confess, whosoever believes on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I would say, it was very simple. I would say that I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, therefore I'm saved. And I even wrote the date next. It was Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I even wrote the date there next to the verse, August 4th, 1974. I suggest that you do the same thing. Make a little confession of, I believe in the first coming of Jesus Christ according to the scriptures. And I believe in the literalness of Jesus Christ first coming according to the scriptures, and I believe in the literalness of his second coming according to the scriptures. And if you get those feelings and all, I make a confession of faith like that, Charles. It's very, very powerful.
Yes, sir. Well, I apologize for taking up so much time, Chaplain. I do appreciate it, though.
No problem. That's what we're here for. Any questions, comments?
None.
Yeah, so, all right, Charles.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Gigi and Randy?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
We don't really have any questions, but I personally want to go back and read through everything to make sure that I can follow it myself.
Just wait till Thursday.
Okay.
Because I'm going to have that, not dramatic changes, but there'll be changes in it by Thursday. Well, I'll have it set up for tomorrow to go to when I go to preach or teach.
Yeah.
Preach or teach. Teach, I guess it is. So, yeah. So Thursday, I want to go over it again.
Okay. Because I just, I think part of the confusion for me is that heaven gets rolled up like a scroll, but then we still see the, when I was studying, it wasn't the book of Revelation, but they were talking about the powers in the heavenlies being like the planetary system. Because in ancient times, they thought that they were alive.
Yeah, but we're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about
I understand that, but they were the ones that wrote it. So that's why I'm saying I want to go back and reread that.
Okay.
They thought, that you have to look at the cultural significance of what was written. So if you don't understand that, it's very difficult to, it's very difficult to understand otherwise. So, I definitely want to look that up again and see where it was that they thought that the skies were filled with, that they were alive, that the planetary system was alive because it was moving and twinkling and lots of other things that to them looked alive.
But it's not alive.
I'm not saying that. That it is alive. I'm just saying when I'm looking at some of the biblical accounts, I have to be able to read what the writer thought about what he was reading. I can't come with 21st century science and look back and interpret what they said because it doesn't match with 21st century science is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I would look through, if I was you, I would look through it like through the eyes of Jesus Christ. And I would look at what he said in Matthew 24, Luke 21. And I would also see how he quoted Isaiah 13, for example. And I would look through his eyes, not 21st century science or back in those days, because he's the creator of the universe. So
I understand that, but I'm just saying if you are saying that the heavens were rolled up like a scroll, but there's still the bodies of the planetary system that are there, that doesn't make sense to me. So I need to go back and look at that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, thanks,
all right.
John.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Yeah, thank you. And then we have Sister Rita.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I really don't have any comment. I enjoyed the lesson. I always enjoy your lessons, and I was blessed. And I like to say a little prayer for Charles, if that would be okay.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Okay. Father, I give you thanks that we are able to come together to you, Father, with our petitions, and that you will hear us, Father, and And if you, we pray anything in the name, in your son's name, that you would give it to us, Father. Father, I'm praying, what I'm at, requesting now, I'm requesting in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is that you would help Charles, you will strengthen him physically and spiritually, comfort him and encourage him, Father. And I pray, Father, that you would also, that you would also, that when he needs strength, that he would come to you for his strength. And that when he is confused and don't quite know which side of the fence to jump, that he would go to your son and to your father, and that he would read the word of God and find out and find the truth, Father. And also it says, Father, it says that faith cometh from hearing and hearing the word of God. Is that correct, Captain John? Am I getting that correct?
Yeah, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Okay. And I'm asking that Charles will strengthen his faith from hearing the word of God and not to go to other people that has an opinion of something, and that you would guide our brother Charles, that he would come to you for his answers, and that he would believe in the word only and not other commentaries. For I pray this in the name of my Lord, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Paula Jean?
Yes. Could I piggyback on that?
Sure.
Okay. Is that okay with you, Charles?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you are present, and your love is so with Charles. It took courage for him to come out and talk about the problem so we could love him and pray for him. And you're right there with him. And my prayer, Father God, before I pray, Charles, I have to tell you something. This is a confession. I was raised in a family that went back and forth between literal and allegory, and that caused me great confusion. And I found out when I was in my 50s that the reason for the confusion was because there were some things that my mother just didn't want to deal with. So she would call it allegory. And I think that what Chaplain John said is right. When people don't know how to interpret it and they aren't going to God and looking to him for the answer and listening to what he has to say because they haven't taken the time to cultivate the relationship so that they can hear and recognize the shepherd's voice, then you end up getting confused teachings. And so I'm going to pray for you with that as my prelude. Okay. Did you understand that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, Heavenly Father, you are awesome. And what you've blessed me with is the understanding that one of the great things we want to be praying for at all times is the ability to recognize your voice when you guide us. We have your word. It's a written word. But many people get confused in their interpretation of that word, and their interpretations can easily confuse us if we try to listen to that without coming to you. Because you're the clarifier, and you left us the Holy Spirit, which is your spirit, and you left the Holy Spirit within us, so we can go to him at any time. And so I'm praying that that relationship with the Holy Spirit becomes so alive and available for Charles that he no longer will be confused by anything that others might say, because he truly has you to go back to. And he will learn as he draws to you for answers that when they come, there will be a peace, a special peace. When he gets that answer, and he will recognize that that peace is from you. And Father, there's just a very special thing that happens when we take the time to wait on you. The answers don't always come right away, but they do come exactly when we need them. And I pray, Father God, pursuit of the ability to find peace when he takes scripture to you and the question that has been plaguing him and puts it in your hand and lets you know how important it is to him to understand. Because you know, as I know, that when someone comes to you with that heart for the right answer so that his walk will be pleasing to you, that you're going to be there for him. And Charles, you will discover that he has just been waiting for the deeper search, the quiet time waiting on him and bringing it directly to him. He is so much more knowledgeable about how he works and how his word is there for you and how you are to hold on to it and understand it. He can give you that. And I know I went for years through the confusion of going back and forth between literal and not literal. And it does plague and depress and cause anxiety and hopelessness even for me. I went through that too. And so I speak against all of those things. They have to get away from Charles. In Jesus' name, away, be gone. Charles belongs to the Lord. He's his child. He's his precious, beloved child. And Charles, I pray that you press in. That's called really pressing into the Lord and telling him how much you love him and you want to understand exactly what he wants you to understand, not other people. And he'll bring that to you. But come here to us whenever something causes a hiccup, just like this has. And we'll reinforce with our encouragement and our prayers. This won't be just tonight. We'll be praying for you. Okay?
Well, thank you. Thank you.
So do we.
Thank you, Sister Paula Jean. Thank you.
Sure. Amen.
All right.
Okay. I did have one question, though. Can I ask one quick question? Sure. Promise is quick.
Sure.
I couldn't find where the two prophets fit in and the little dynamic that went on between them and the angels delivering their messages.
You're going to have to explain more to me.
Okay. There's a place where the two prophets come and they speak about the blessed hope, okay, to the remaining people who didn't go up in the rapture, okay? But I just don't know. Is that all before Jesus comes back? Because I know it was supposedly very close to took place.
No, all of that happens from the beginning of the tribulation to mid-tribulation. The two prophets are killed by the beast at mid-tribulation.
And then they come alive.
Right. And they lay on the street there in Jerusalem for 3.5 days, and then they're raised.
Right. But that's way before all of this, then, was what you're saying.
Well, it depends on what you mean by way before. It's literally like 3.5 years.
Okay.
So all of that about the two prophets happened the first half of the tribulation, and it ends
right
on mid-tribulation. And then the beast, okay, the beast comes to power mid-tribulation, and he's in power for 42 months, 1260 days, and that he is destroyed by the Lord at his second coming.
Okay, and so this is all after that.
After what?
What you just said. The beast coming?
It's all after the two prophets die.
Okay. I'll wait and find out more. I might even go to Jesus.
Yeah. So the two prophets
die. Yeah, no, that's okay. No, but you got me back in line by putting the prophets before the half mark, or
right,
up to the half.
Their whole ministry is before mid, and then they die mid tribulation. So yeah, their whole ministry is before.
Okay, and so the millennium is after the earthquake.
Yes. Yes, okay. The millennium is within the new heaven and the new earth.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
See, it helps when we bring you our questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Right. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
All right, bye now. God bless everybody.
Bye-bye.
All right, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Tomorrow morning we have prayer, but then tomorrow night I come back later after the teaching. So God bless everybody.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave life everlasting. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten.